hearty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to another expanded 30-minute version of the Sunny Side of Sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Yes, my friend.
The Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports.
The Sunny Side of Sports show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Let's kick off in Zurich, Switzerland, where Gianni Infantino on Friday was voted in as the new president of FIFA, world football's governing body. It took two rounds of voting for Infantino to take over arguably the most powerful position in world sports. He narrowly beat Sheikh Salman bin Ibrahim Al Khalifa from Bahrain in the first round, 88 votes to 85. However, to be elected FIFA president in the first round, a candidate must receive two-thirds of the votes, or 138, cast by FIFA's 207 members. So they went to a second round of balloting, and Infantino then nabbed 115 votes to become the new president of FIFA. The 45-year-old Infantino was previously the general secretary of UEFA, the European Football Union. He was born in Switzerland, and he takes over from another Swiss official, the disgraced Sepp Blatter, whose 17-year reign as the FIFA chief ended in a corruption scandal that rocked the organization. Before the FIFA vote, the FIFA officials passed a series of reform measures, and afterwards, the new FIFA president, Gianni Infantino, had this to say.
Everyone in the world will applaud us and will applaud all of you for what we'll do in FIFA in the future. We have to be proud of FIFA, and everyone has to be proud of FIFA, and we have to be proud of what we will do together in FIFA. I would like to thank all of you, all 209, all the other candidates. We had a sporting competition. Tokyo said it, one can win and four will not win. But we had a sporting competition, and it was a great sign of democracy in FIFA. And I want to be the president of all of you, of all 209 national associations.
Gianni Infantino, who on Friday was voted the new president of FIFA, world football's governing body. We heard Infantino mention Tokyo. He's referring to Tokyo Sekwale of South Africa, the only African candidate in the FIFA presidential elections. Shortly before the balloting, Sekwale withdrew, leaving only two other candidates, Jordan's Prince Ali bin Al Hussein and Frenchman Jerome Champagne. But once again, the new president of FIFA, world football's governing body, Gianni Infantino, the former UEFA Secretary General. This election was called the most important in FIFA's 112-year history as the organization tries to restore its reputation amid corruption charges and investigations by the U.S. Department of Justice and Swiss law enforcement.
What's better than the Sunny Side of Sports? More Sunny Side of Sports. Listen to our new expanded show now on VOA Africa.
Hey, g'day, mates. Remember me? This is the old sports emperor with a red-hot listening tip. That's right. Give a listen to my pal, the bright and lively Sunny Man on the Sunny Side of Sports, right here on the Voice of America.
Hello, Africa. Dr. Larry Zamoje here, Chairman, Chief Executive, Sports Radio 88.9 Brila FM. Keep getting sporty sunshine with Sunny Young. We all do at Sports Radio 88.9 Brila FM, broadcasting out of the cities of Lagos, Abuja, Kaduna, and Onitsha in Nigeria, as well as the World Wide Web on www.brilafm.net. I tell you this. It's always a thrill, yes, a thrill, to remain on the sunny side on Brilla with Sunny. Keep listening, Africa.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way. It will keep on the sunny side of life.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
In pro boxing, American Charles Martin makes the first defense of his IBF heavyweight title April 9th when he takes on Britain's Anthony Joshua at the O2 Arena in London. Both fighters are unbeaten. Martin has 23 wins and one draw, while Joshua, who has ties to Nigeria, has won his first 15 prize fights, all by knockout. Our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Moeta, is predicting Joshua will win the IBF belt in the British capital.
Oh, Sonny, if he picks up the belt April 9th, when he will pick up the belt April 9th, he has David Haye in England. Mm. He has Chisora in England. He has Tyson Fury. He has big, big fights in front of him, but he must deliver on April 9th by a spectacular knockout.
So he's got some British options available to him.
Big British options that will end up at the Wembley Arena for big fights. I mean, heavyweight boxing is back in the UK, and they have the players, and they have the big boys, and they're going to draw a big, big number. Anthony Joshua is there. Tyson Fury is there. David Haye is there. Chisora is there. Some other young cats are there. So the action is in the UK.
Big, big numbers, Namdi. I think we might see some big, big numbers May 7th in Las Vegas when Saul Canelo Alvarez takes on Amir Khan. How is that fight shaping up?
Oh, Sonny, that's a huge fight. I mean, we're talking about numbers. We're looking at this fight may even pull in $100 million, Sonny. Mm. Canelo is a big draw. Khan is a draw himself. He's a good talker. He can talk up the fight. So, and it's a Cinco de Mayo weekend, and it's going into a brand new arena, the T-Mobile Arena. And this arena seats 22,000 people. Why wouldn't you want to go? It will sell out. It will bring in a live gate of close to $17 million. So when you throw in pay-per-view, you throw in closed circuit, throw in foreign TV rights, huge numbers, Sonny.
Tactically, Namdi, can Khan win with his speed and maybe get a points decision?
Until he gets caught. Sonny, Khan has what we call in the game a China chin, a glass chin. You tap in on that chin, he goes down, you know. And a big puncher like Canelo Alvarez, he will just have to cut the ring off and stay right on him, and then he can break the ribs and crack the jaw a couple of times and it'll be over. But Sonny, this is a fight game. Go back and look at the Canelo Mayweather. Khan can make it a very easy fight. Decision, he cannot hurt Canelo. Points, win, unanimous decision. Everybody will be shocked. And then what happens to Triple G?
At this point, Namdi, do you think it's just a matter of time before Canelo catches Khan in that fight?
He may even catch him in the first round, and the first second of the first round will be over, you know. But how about if he cannot catch him? How about if he cannot cut off the ring? How about if he cannot land that big one punch that we know, the big right hand or the left hook? How about if he's unable to do that? We end up seeing a boring, one-sided fight.
The winner of Canelo Khan, do they next face Triple G?
Well, that's the deal. The winner of Canelo Khan must face Triple G in September, and they're looking at the Cowboy Stadium in Dallas, Texas, that can hold more than 100,000 people.
Thanks, Namdi. That's our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Moeta. Namdi and I talked about the Canelo Khan fight on May 7th. The two fighters will hit the road next week to promote the bout. They'll be in London on Monday, New York City on Tuesday, and Los Angeles on Wednesday. And there's a good bet, VOA boxing fans, that the Hollywood man, Namdi Moeta, will be at that Los Angeles news conference between Canelo and Khan. That should be a great fight. Once again, that'll be on May 7th. In Major League Soccer news, the Seattle Sounders have completed the transfer of Nigerian striker Obafemi Martins to Shanghai Shenhua of the Chinese Super League for an undisclosed sum. I know our many VOA listeners in Nigeria are familiar with Obafemi, also nicknamed Oba Goal for his goal celebrations. I love to watch him do those backflips after he scores a goal. Now, Martin signed with Seattle as a designated player in March of 2013. Very effective for the Sounders. He scored 40 goals in 72 total appearances with the Sounders. The 31-year-old Martin scored 15 goals in 21 regular season games last year with Seattle. Once again, Obafemi Martins heading to China to play for Shanghai Shenhua. That deal is now official. In Olympic news, well, the Rio Games officially get underway on August 5th in Brazil. The VOA's Daybreak Africa sportsman, Mark Ouma, caught up with three athletes who are hoping to compete at the Rio Olympics.
South African Hosi Totsane clocked 30 minutes and 22.7 seconds to win the 10 kilometers at the best made road race in the South African capital, Tshwane. His sights are now set on the Olympics in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil.
The way I felt about the race today, it was fine, because now I'm looking to run at least around here in Pretoria. This Molanyana race is just to build up my fitness now. Because last year I did struggle maybe two years back now with minor injuries, but now I'm glad that I can join the guys with the racing pace and everything. So.
You won this race in 2013. Last year you were second. You've come back and won again. So it says well about your fitness. What do you want to achieve this year?
Now I'm looking upon 5,000 in the track. Yeah, 5,000 meters in the track. So that maybe I can form part of the Olympic team. But now I can see the way my training is going. I'm not far. I'm still there with the guys. Maybe I can dip under my personal best of 13:30.
That was Hosi Totsane, winner of the 10 kilometers at the Best Med Tax road race, speaking in Tshwane, South Africa. Meanwhile, returning from a maternity break, South African Yvette Fancel won the women's 10 kilometers in 33 minutes and 55.3 seconds. She aims at breaking new grounds in the marathon.
It's nice to be back racing again. I try not to race a lot because the training is quite important now for preparing for London Marathon. But today was nice, a bit hot and humid out there. It was a nice race overall, and I think I can't complain. Another sub 34, so I think preparation is going well.
You've got your London Marathon, as you say. It's going to be your first big marathon. What are your projections? What time are you looking at?
Well, I've been away from the marathon quite a bit now for a few years, so I think we're going to see what the other ladies have run, because the focus is just to qualify for Rio. To make the team, you have to run a sub 230, so I think it's going to be a tough qualify for the marathon.
What is your personal best in marathon?
A 2:31.
That was Yvette Fancel, winner of the women's 10 kilometers at the Best Made Road Race in Tshwane, South Africa. Zimbabwe's Rutendo Nyahora aims to make her marathon debut in the Austrian capital Vienna in April. She received a confidence boost after she placed second in the women's 10 kilometers at the Best Made Road Race.
The race was okay. Like, my aim was to run under 35 minutes, because now I'm busy preparing for the marathon. I haven't done my speed yet. So my aim was to run under 35 minutes, and I'm so happy because I managed to run 34:56.
You are thinking of the marathon. What are you aiming with in terms of marathon?
I'm aiming to qualify for the Olympics, Rio.
Yes. Well, what is your personal best?
I haven't run a marathon yet, so I'm training for my first marathon.
When and where do you plan to run your first marathon?
I'm going to run on the 10th of April, and I'm going to run Vienna Marathon.
Yes.
That was Zimbabwe's Rutendo Nyahora, runner-up in women's 10 kilometers at the Best Med Road Race. I'm Mark Ouma in Johannesburg, South Africa.
The countdown continues for the Rio Olympics in Brazil. Our VOA Olympic fans will remember the opening ceremony will be August 5th at the Maracanã Stadium in Rio de Janeiro. The stadium also hosted the final of the 2014 FIFA World Cup football tournament when Germany defeated Argentina 1-0 in extra time. Joining us now from Rio with an update on the city's Olympic preparations is our friend Luis Piazza. Luis reports a female Brazilian football star will be in the spotlight shortly before the opening ceremony.
2 days before the opening ceremony for the Olympics in Rio, Miss Marta, the Brazilian 50 times on the row best female soccer player of the world, will kick the ball on August 3rd and light up the slogan of the Olympic Games, Live Your Passion in Rio de Janeiro. There is a saying that the women are more unpredictable than men, so anything can happen, but we can dream of Brazilians playing the final against USA women national team, 3 consecutive times gold medal, the queens of Olympic soccer. Again about gender, the International Olympic Committee has announced a new rule for transgender athletes to adapt to current social, scientific, and legal attitudes on transgender issues. According to the new guidelines, female-to-male athletes can now take a part in Olympics without surgery, and male-to-female athletes must undergo only hormone therapy. What is for the prep of the event? We asked the mayor of the city, Mr. Eduardo Paes, to speak up on 3 current important matters: security, health, and environment. Related to the Olympic Games, where $10 billion was committed so far. He answered back that none of these are his assignment. The health, including Zika, is a Minister of Health business, a federal issue as it is the security, said the mayor. The environment inquired about the pollution of the Bay for water sports. He said we should ask the State of Rio Water and Sewage Company. We are on it. But one question without answer so far is about a contingency plan on the nuclear power plants, Angra 1, Angra 2, plus a third being built, away just half an hour drive from the Olympic Village. These plants have been temporarily shut down more than once, a couple of years ago, due to accidents, malfunctioning of equipment, or expired insurance contract. On Zika, the experts don't know just yet how to cure infected people. Officials are confident Zika is not a problem for the Olympics. Top seeds athletes alternate opinions. The ex-number one Rafael Nadal, defeated last Saturday by the Uruguayan Pablo Cuevas, Rio Open champion, said he is not worried with the Zika frenzy. The top Spanish swimmer, Mireia Belmonte, would consider not traveling to Brazil because of Zika. The windsurfer, the Spanish Olympic gold medalist, Neil Mam, Marina Labau said she got Zika in Brazil last December, but it won't stop her to come back in August. Kitty Schiller, Australian Olympic Mission Director, said this weekend to the Herald Sun, the Australian girls are prohibited to walk by favelas in Rio, among other areas considered highly dangerous. Also, the girls, if planning to get pregnant after the Games, should think twice. Yet, about Zika, we asked Thomas Barrows and Joe Morris, U.S. 49ers sailing team. And here is what Joe said from Baltimore.
Yeah, we're extremely excited to sail on the bay. We haven't had much experience there before, but from what we've heard, the conditions can be quite nice. You know, some people do have concerns about the quality of the water.
In the meantime, a batch of transgene male mosquito made by Oxitec, a British company owned by Intraxon, based in Maryland, flies in 2 cities in Brazil, just as a test. The transgene mosquito should get the female Zika pregnant and kill her baby before it infects humans. This is Luis Piazza for the Sunny Side of Sports.
Here, now, on the Sunny Side of Sports.
Follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. And my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. I also encourage our Voice of America listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports blog. The address is blogs.voanews.com/sunny. Once again, that address, blogs.voanews.com/sunny. VOA intern Rick Narciss is guest blogger for the latest post titled Moutier Makes Mark in the NBA. And Rick writes about Denver Nuggets rookie point guard Emmanuel Moutier, who has an interesting international background. The 19-year-old Moutier was born in the Democratic Republic of Congo, grew up here in the United States, and played 1 year of professional basketball in China.
This is Dikembe Mutombo. I am from Africa. Malaria kills thousands of children every day. Don't let your child be one of them. Make sure they sleep under a treated mosquito net. Beating malaria is like winning at basketball. You need to get to the net.
You need to get to the net. Thanks to Dikembe Mutombo, who last year was voted into the Basketball Hall of Fame. If you're just tuning in now to the Sunny Side of Sports, my top story, Gianni Infantino on Friday was elected the new president of FIFA, World Football's governing body. Infantino is 45 years old. He's a Swiss Italian, and he succeeds Sepp Blatter, whose 17-year reign ended in a corruption scandal that rocked FIFA. Once again, Gianni Infantino, the new president of FIFA. Turning to tennis, the world's top-ranked tennis player, Novak Djokovic, has pulled out of the Dubai Championships in the Middle East because of an infection in both eyes. Djokovic said the infection started in his right eye, but was then present in both eyes. He wore dark sunglasses at his post-match news conference in Dubai. The withdrawal ends Djokovic's run of making it to 17 consecutive finals dating from the 2015 Australian Open. Djokovic was playing Spain's Feliciano Lopez when he called for the trainer while trailing 1-2. He eventually quit the match after Lopez won the first set 6-3. Now let's go to Orlando, Florida, where Golden State Warriors basketball star Stephen Curry put on another great shooting show Thursday night. Curry fired in 51 points to lead the defending NBA champion Warriors to a 130-114 victory over the host Orlando Magic. Curry made 20 of 27 shots from the field, including 10 three-pointers. He set a new NBA record by making a three-pointer in his 128th consecutive game. It marked the third time this season Curry has scored more than 50 points in a game. He's the first player to do that that many times in a season since LeBron James and Dwayne Wade in 2008-2009. Joining us now on the Sunny Side of Sports is VOA's Rick Narciss. Sporty greetings, Rick.
Hey, Sonny.
I understand you're a basketball player.
Yeah, I play at Marymount University.
Marymount University, I know I wasn't quite familiar where that was located until you told me. Where is it located for our VOA listeners?
We're right outside of D.C. in Arlington, Virginia.
Now, what are you studying at Marymount, Rick?
Communications.
Okay. What attracted you to the internship program at the Voice of America?
My advisor recommended it for me. We had a lot of students that came through this program. Well, not under you, but VOA overall. And I talked to some of them. They said they had a great experience here. And I thought I'd try my hand at it.
And what year are you at Marymount?
This is my senior year. Okay. I'll be graduating at the end of this spring.
So would you like to maybe go into the communications field?
I would really like that. Anything with sports.
Let's talk sports. Basketball. What level is Marymount University in terms of collegiate basketball?
We are Division III.
Okay, now can you explain how Division III differs from, say, Division II or Division I?
Well, Division I, you get a scholarship, you can get a full ride and go to school free. Whereas D3, your scholarship money basically comes off of how well you did academically in high school. So basically, it's you're gonna get money for your brains and, rather than your athletic ability.
Did Marymount recruit you out of high school?
Yeah, they came to a bunch of my games. They really made me feel wanted, which was why it made it easy to go there.
Okay, talk about your basketball experience at Marymount. Maybe not so much wins and losses, but how you developed as a student athlete.
We got a lot of help from our coach. He was always there, staying on top of us. Helping us plan things out. As an athlete, I struggled with some injuries. Had a lot of concussions.
Wow! How was it from, like, contact on the court or?
Yeah, on the court. I ran into somebody one time. I went up a guy's tooth and went into the side of my head.
Ooh! Yeah. Now, are there, like, what do they call it, concussion protocols in the case of when you suffer an injury like that?
Yeah, you have to retake this test a million times. And it's a test, I feel like, even at your best mental capabilities, it's a tough test to pass. You have to remember all these words, all these numbers, shapes, all these weird shapes. So it was a tough one to come back from because I couldn't, like, remember these shapes to save my life.
What was your most memorable game at Marymount?
Probably my senior night game. I tied my career high in points at 21, had 9 rebounds, and had my career high in steals with 6. So it's probably the biggest one for me that I remember.
And how did the fans respond on senior night?
We have one of my teammates, his family runs this group of younger kids. They do like camps for them, and they're on a travel team. So they all came out, and after the game, I got a dunk at the end of the game.
Oh, wow!
And they all just came over, and they were asking for my autograph. Like,
well, that must have made you feel pretty good.
Yeah, I felt real good about that.
Let's talk more basketball, Rick. I mentioned LeBron James earlier in the show and how Stephen Curry, I think he equaled a record for a number of 50-point games in a season. LeBron might be your favorite player, right?
LeBron is my favorite player, but Steph is making a strong case for best player in the world right now.
Yeah, great player, exciting player. Another exciting player, I know you recently wrote about him, Emmanuel Mudiay of the Denver Nuggets. You might even be older than Mudiay, right?
Yeah.
19 and starting in the NBA. What can you tell our listeners about that blog post you wrote, Rick?
Like I mentioned in the blog post, Mudiay is a bit of a world traveler. He was born in the Democratic Republic of Congo. His family left, came to the United States, stayed in Texas. They spoke French coming up. Then he went over to China to play professional ball for a year instead of going to college. And so he's been all over the place. Big fan of his game. He can really pass the ball.
And he's a rugged type of player too, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, 6'5", big for a guard.
Yeah, he's a bigger guard. He's really explosive. Hard to stay in front of him.
And would you say Mudiay is an example of how maybe the NBA is becoming more international in recent years in terms of the players in the league?
Yeah, you've seen the NBA respond to, like, the international presence, especially with the Rising Stars game, how they've decided to split up the teams geographically. So Team World featuring all the international players and then Team USA featuring the American players. That game's always a lot of fun to watch.
VOA's Rick Narciss joining us this evening on the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks for chatting with us, Rick.
Thanks for having me.
And that wraps up another expanded edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks also to Voice of America engineer Mr. Chang. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young. Have a good weekend, everyone. And that's the Sunny Side of Sports.